Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you so much for joining us for Reading the Word. Thank you, Brother Dearman, for that fine introduction. Do as he said. Grab your Bible. We're examining Psalm 119. We're studying this beautiful passage of Scripture. We're studying it in 8-verse increments because that's how it's laid out according to the Hebrew language, which is the language it was written in. And we're doing it that way because every 8 verses start with a specific letter, the Hebrew alphabet. It's what we call an acrostic, and it makes it easier for us to study as well. We're ready for the 14th section, which may be one of the most famous sections. And you go, Brother Justin, I don't know the 14th section of Psalm 119. Well, you know some verses from it, I feel. Some of the most famous, if I could call it that, verses from this psalm. Grab your Bible. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. Let's read Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112. We'll be reading the none in UN section. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Now, as we're looking at Psalm 119, the none section, there are 8 verses in that section, and it closely corresponds to our letter N of the English alphabet. Verse 105, we see paganism darken the world. Our worshiping idols darken the world. Worshiping flesh darken the world. I think about the Old Testament time. If you remember, while they're wandering in the wilderness, a pillar of cloud guided them through the day, and a pillar of fire guided them at night. Here he says, the word of God is a candle, literally a candle, or a light unto my feet, a light unto my path. We see, I think about the 7 golden candlesticks in the holy place in the Old Testament. John says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. We let the word of God, if we hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against God, as we've already discussed at the beginning of this psalm, then it will guide our paths. Verse 106, he says, I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Brethren, you realize not every oath is wrong. God made an oath, a covenant, a promise to Abraham. The psalmist is making one to God. Brethren, you realize that when you and I have heard, we believed, we repented, we've made a confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and we're immersed into that watery grave of baptism, having our sins washed away from us. Romans 6, 3 and 4, Galatians 3 and verse 27, Acts 22, 16, among others. When we do that, we're making a covenant with God, saying, God, I promise, I'm going to live the life that you want me to. I'm going to live according with thy word. Not every oath is bad. And here the psalmist says, he will perform it, he'll keep it. Verse 107, he says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. The psalmist knew afflictions firsthand. I go back to verse 50. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. The psalmist knew afflictions firsthand. But he's not requesting a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. That's not what he's saying. How does he want to be made alive? By the word of God. Verse 108, accept, I beseech thee, these freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. You know, today in the Lord's church, God doesn't give us a report and says, well, Brother Reed, you have to give $3,000 this week according on what you're earning, or I'm not going to be pleased with you. God doesn't give us a specific amount we're supposed to give as we've been prospered, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We need to purpose it in our heart to give cheerfully. And we need to do this on the first day of the week, every first day of the week. But God does not specify an amount. Now, think about under the law of Moses. They offered animals, they offered flour, they offered grain, and they even made fruit offerings at different times. Well, here, what is he wanting? He says, the freewill offerings of my mouth. I think about Exodus 35, starting in verse 5, and we'll just read about through verse 8 because it just keeps going. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering to the Lord, gold and silver and brass and purple and blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, shittim wood, and oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, the sweet incense, onyx stones. Keep going, keep going, keep going. God said, those of you who have a willing heart, I need things for my purpose. Back then it was for the tabernacle. Today he needs things for his church. And guess what? They gave so much to construct the tabernacle. One chapter later, in chapter 36, verses 5 through 7, he puts a restriction because they'd actually given too much. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, neither let man nor woman make any more for the offering for the work of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. They were giving too much. They're not cutting down. They just need to stop for the time being. Now, how many times do you think God today would say, you know what, church, you're giving too much. You know what, people are giving too much. That doesn't happen. Honestly, I don't think we're giving enough. There's a book called The Truth About Giving. V.P. Black has written a book called Rust as a Witness. My God and My Money is another book from him. Excellent reads. I'd encourage you, if you have a chance, to acquire a copy or borrow a copy, read. Brethren, I don't think we're giving enough to God. And I'm not preaching for money because the money doesn't come to me. The money goes for God's work. And God needs money to accomplish his work here on this earth. Hey, let's take us a quick break. We'll come back, resume our study of Psalm 119 and verse 109.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And we're back, more reading the Word. Thank you for sticking around with us. We're ready for verse 109 of Psalm 119, where the psalmist says, my soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. In other words, he's saying he's constantly in danger. You know, it's just a true example of anything. If I tell you we're just one step away from us and death, nobody knows, as we've already discussed in this study here on this program, we don't know how long we have. We are one step away from death, and I'm not trying to scare you. Regardless of this fear, notice, though, the psalmist has remained faithful. Verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Wicked had treated him as if he were an animal. Snare would be a way of a net, kind of a trap they would catch birds and other animals in. Here, his enemies are treating him like an animal, and yet even though he's dodging all these traps, he's being faithful. Verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. If David wrote this psalm, he had a great heritage. I think about Jesse and Obed and Boaz and Ruth, and continue that line on back to Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Judah. I mean, you think about all these great Old Testament people that are in David's line. If this is David's writing this, he has a great family heritage. But you know what? Even if it's not David writing this, we as Christians have a great heritage with God, and verse 112 is a great claim for our lives. Well, let's just keep our study going. We'll see how far we can get into the Samesh section, verses 113 through 120. Grab your Bible, read along with me, please. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and shield, I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect under thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for the fear of thee, that I am afraid of thy judgments. Samesh is akin to our letter S of our English alphabet. Verse 113, he's doing a great contrast. I hate vain thoughts, I love thy law. And the American Standard of 1901 renders vain thoughts double-mindedness, or a double-minded man. James 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Reminds me of the politician, and I'm not getting political, I'm just making a quote here. The politician said, I have friends on both sides of the issue, and I try to stay loyal to my friends. Brethren, we can't do that. That's being double-minded. That's playing the one side and the other. Here, the psalmist, his life is built around the Lord that he loves. Verse 114 makes me think, talking about a hiding place and a shield. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in time of trouble. We might sing the song, Hide me, O my Savior, hide me in thy holy place. We all need a hiding place. Psalm 84 and verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he uphold from them that walk uprightly. We can rest assured in God. Verse 115, depart from me, the evildoers, makes me think of Psalm 119. The blessed man does not walk, stand, or sit in the way of the ungodly. He gives them the exit sign, if you will. Verse 116, we see the importance of not being ashamed. I think about what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We don't need to be ashamed to be a Christian. We don't need to be ashamed to follow God. Verse 117, hold thou me up. That's literary kinship, to uphold me. Provide support. He says, I have respect to thy statutes continually. Brother Guyon Woods theorized there are over 2,500 warnings in scriptures that were teaching the possibilities of apostasy. So we need to be careful. Verse 118, talking about trodden down all that err. American Standard renders that, it said it not. God's saints are held up. Satan's minions are trodden down. Consider verse 116, 17, and 18 altogether, and the picture becomes clear. The errorists are put away. They're trodden down. Verse 119, the wicked are put away. How does he do that? Well, he does them, by the way, putteth away in Hebrew means cause it to cease, like dross. Think about when you smelt metals, trying to get pure gold. You're going to melt it till it gets really, 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 really hot, and you should never touch it unless you're wearing supervised items. And what happens is the impurities come up to the top, and then you can just rake it away, have no value. Well, the heavenly metallurgist, if I can call him that, would be great Jehovah, and he removes the wicked. And notice, how many does he remove? Verse 119, he removes them all. Verse 120 says, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Makes me think about every time somebody came in the presence of angels in the Old Testament and New Testament, usually caused people to fear. Imagine seeing, literally being in the presence of God. Look at verse 161 quickly. Princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. The psalmist says, even though I've been in the presence of some pretty and powerful people, the only thing that makes me tremble is God. I think about great Felix. Acts 24, 25, chapter 24, verses 25 and 26. Felix trembled when he heard the word of God. Here the psalmist says, I trembled in fear because of thee. Well, here's where we're going to draw our line in the sand this time. I do hope next week you can join us for another installment of Reading the Word. We're going to pick up with the Ain section of Psalm 119. Remember, may the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.